Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast from Perimeter Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Jeff Norris, and I'm joined by my co-host here, Laura Story Elvington. And our goal is to equip you to follow Jesus by exploring the teachings and topics of the Bible, the culture, and life.
This season, we're digging deeper into marriages, exploring how God's design brings life and strength to every couple. We'll sit down with a range of guests, couples and individuals, to talk about everything from money to pursuing oneness in marriage and how the gospel can transform our marriages. And don't miss our final episode when Jeff and Rachel and I will sit down and talk about marriage, and we'll bring together all the questions that the listeners have sent in.
So wherever you are in your marriage, in your journey, we invite you to listen, to learn, and discover how God's grace can reshape your relationships. Subscribe now so you don't miss any of our new episodes releasing every Friday. Welcome back to another episode of Digging Deeper, and thanks for joining us in this series that we're doing on marriage. This is the fourth episode, so if you missed the first three, you can go back and listen to those. They're not necessarily in an order to where you're going to be missing out if you jump in with us today, but there are three episodes already that have been fantastic with fantastic guests. But today, we have perhaps the most fantastic of guests. We have Dave and Ann Wilson, some friends of ours for numerous years here. And man, we are just pumped to have you guys joining us from your studio, your really cool studio in Michigan.
Yeah, we're glad to be here. You must have had some bad guests if we're the most fantastic.
Well, look, if any of our guests, previous guests, listen to this, they're awesome. Y'all are all fantastic. All right, real quick, I'm going to give the listeners a rundown of who you guys are, and then we're going to jump in to what I know will be a fantastic conversation with you guys. All right, so Dave and Ann are hosts of Family Life Today. And let me just say, and I know, Laura, you would say the same, if you're not familiar with that show and what they do with that, tune in. Google Family Life Today. Go to where you listen to podcasts, whatever, and listen to these guys and the guests that they have. Tremendous stuff, super helpful in all aspects of family life.
Yeah, and even the ministry as a whole. Like, we're a church that's doing a podcast series on marriage, but Family Life, that's what they do. And yep. It's really on every level helping marriages and families.
Yep, and Family Life
Just to throw this in, the most fantastic guests we've ever had on Family Life Today are you guys.
Of course.
Yeah, and I know how genuinely honest that was. So thank you. Thank you, Dave. Family Life is one of the ministries that we as a church support, so we are big fans. All right, Dave and Ann have been married for more than 45 years and have spent the majority of that time, many, many years, mentoring couples and parents across the country. They are featured speakers at Family Life's Weekend to Remember marriage conferences and getaways. They've been doing that since 1993. They also have hosted their own marriage conferences across the country for years. And then for them, about their family, Dave and Ann have three grown sons, CJ, Austin, and Cody, who are all married, and you guys have seven grandchildren, which, what a blessing. So awesome.
Yep. It's fine. Three of them were here last night.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. All right, Laura, jump in
sure.
for us.
Yeah. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about and you have a book called How to Speak Life. Sorry, I can't look at it without laughing a little bit. How to Speak Life to Your Husband When All You Want to Do Is Yell at Him. It's hard for you.
What a great
hard
title.
For me to imagine you would write this about Dave. But we're going to get to this. I think sometimes when people hear like what Jeff just read, I mean, you guys, you must be really great at being married. If you're teaching this stuff so many years, and you guys must have just had this really easy backstory. Tell us a little bit about how you got to be so great at marriage.
Well, it's funny, Laura. I think most of us, if we're writing something, a lot of times it's not through our victory, it's through our pain points. And so, honestly, we wrote that because we've really struggled. We wrote our first book, Vertical Marriage, because at 10 years, our anniversary, we almost lost it. Mm. And then, like, this is about 10 years after that, we were struggling again. And every marriage goes through those peaks and those valleys. Mm-hmm. And so we basically write about our valleys.
That's great. And you guys, you have a really neat story that you tell about the very early years early weeks of your marriage. Do you mind sharing that with us?
I told it yesterday at church. I was preaching yesterday at church, and somehow this fit in where I was going in the sermon. But, you know, we came into marriage. We had just gone, actually, to the weekend, remember, with Family Life. That's how we got introduced to Family Life. We didn't know anything about Family Life till that weekend. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, we're getting married.
And we're pretty new in our faith. Like, we're so excited because we're going to go on staff with Crew, a full-time ministry. So we're like, we've got Jesus, we've got each other. This is going to be amazing.
Going into ministry, and we thought it'd be easy. We just thought we love Jesus, we love each other. This can't be that hard. And within 6 months, we're driving to our first ministry assignment, and we're in a big fight in the car. And Ann yells at me, "Marrying you is the biggest mistake of my life."
Wow.
Not a mistake, the biggest. And that's where we started. I mean, it really was hard. We never processed our backgrounds. Ann came from sexual abuse. I came from two alcoholic parents and adultery and divorce and all that. You know, it's like we sort of have this perspective. We're new in Christ. The old is gone. 2 Corinthians 5, we're new creation, which is true. But if you don't process some of the luggage and baggage you're bringing in, it's coming with you. And pretty soon we were in trouble.
Well, and here's one of the things that happened. Here we are ministering to these athletes at the University of Nebraska. And this one morning, Dave's not in bed. And so I go looking for him. He's on the couch and he has his Bible on his lap, which I'm thinking, oh, good. Maybe God will get his attention. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, well, I'm reading Paul's words right now when he says to live is Christ and to die is gain. He goes, and I just told God, I'd rather be dead, I think, than to be married.
Wow. Wow. It's
like, I was like the biggest gut punch ever.
Oh, wow.
I just went upstairs and I just cried. He actually said, than to be married to you.
Wow.
We were in so much trouble and in so much pain. And we ended up pulling out our manual from the Weekend Remember marriage conference we attended. And we started going through that, and we even started leading a Bible study. We're like, we don't know what we're doing because there are some athletes that were married. And we're like, maybe this can help you guys too, of how does Jesus impact your marriage? Wow. And that really helped us.
Wow. Okay, so now here we are, 45 years later, which I just, in and of itself, that sentence gives some listeners here great hope because they go, wow, okay, that... I don't want to put words in you guys' mouth, but like you kind of go, okay, I don't think that could have started any worse. Right. and yet, okay, God has clearly done tremendous work in their marriage. The fact that they're on a podcast with Laura and Jeff, Digging Deeper, Perimeter Church, all this, there must have been some really cool things along the way that God did to heal and to redeem and to, and obviously, I know you would be the first to say, hey, look, we still work through things. There's still things that, you know, marriage is still what it is. It's two sinners learning how to be sanctified together to the glory of God. But let me just say this, and then I'm leading to a question. Myself and our pastors here, I mean, we are weekly engaging with couples in our church who are either not far from what you guys just described or totally there. And so I hope they're listening and I'd love for you to speak to them right now.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, it was up and down. It didn't just, you know, get better because, we went through the Weekend Remember manual and started teaching it to couples. We struggled, but, and then we got to year 10 and we actually wrote a book on that moment at year 10, I was starting a church here in Detroit, and we moved to Detroit, became Detroit Lions chaplain. So I was on the road with them on road games. And so, you know,
we had a 4 and a 2 year old.
Yeah, we had a 4 and a 2 year old. And you can see I've got like 2 or 3 jobs going and I'm gone a lot. And basically on our 10 year anniversary date, where I would have told you before we went out that night, on a scale of 1 to 10, we're a 10. We're doing great. And I know Ann would say the same thing.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're a 1, probably closer to a 0.5. And I thought the fact that he thinks we're a 10 just says it all.
Yeah.
Because he's so invested out there that he has no idea what's going on in here. And we were just fighting a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the short version of this very long story is as we were driving home from the date, I had this great idea. Let's go parking.
And our 10-year anniversary date.
Yeah, because I think we're at 10, you know, and we're doing great.
Oh, yeah, my
gosh. Yeah, I even had it, you know, a little surprise. We were going to park in the parking lot. This is like midnight. Of the middle school that we had just signed a contract to start our church in. She didn't know it. So I'm like, hey, this will be so romantic. We'll pray that God does a miracle and blesses this church. And then we'll go parking. You know, and if you're a younger listener, you don't know what parking is, go look it up. Okay. You know.
Yeah, some of our listeners are going, wait, you're just gonna park?
By the way, we're in a Honda Accord. I mean, I have high hopes in a Honda Accord. And I go to kiss her, and she definitely turns away, and I just thought, she didn't know I was trying to kiss her, so I try again, and she turns away, and like any husband, I say, is something wrong? And she says, no. I say, well, I was trying to kiss you. It seems like you don't want to kiss me. Is something wrong? She says, yes.
Well, I just didn't want to get into it that night because it was a great night. He put a lot of effort and money into the night. I'm like, I'm not going to wreck the night by getting into all these things. And finally, he kept pushing me. I'm like, Dave, honestly, I have zero feelings for you. I have nothing left. To be truthful, I don't even care at this point if we make it. Mm-hmm. That because I even said, I started out super angry. You're gone all the time. My anger turned to resentment and then to bitterness. And now I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly where we were. And you said, like, maybe some of your listeners are there. That is a hopeless place to be because you think, I don't even know how to get out of the hole or the rut. And so I thought, here it goes. We're going to be in an all-out war in a really bad fight on our anniversary night. But it changed that night.
Yeah, when she said I went home, honestly, I reached in the back seat where my planner was. You know, back then it was on a little piece of paper.
Right.
I don't know if we remember the Franklin planners. I had one in the back seat. Yeah. I was going to pull it up and prove to her that she was wrong. I've been home Tuesday night. I was home, you know. And as I'm reaching back, this is where it gets a little crazy because I sensed the Spirit of God.
Hmm.
Almost audibly. It wasn't audibly, but it was very strong. And it was, don't touch your planner.
Hmm.
You know, and it was actually two words. Just shut up. Don't say anything. So she didn't even know I was reaching for it. I just pulled my arm back and I said, tell me more. And she told me. And then as she was talking, and this is where, again, I'm listening to her, but I sense the Spirit of God. That's why we call it vertical. He said to me one word, three times, repent, repent. Repent. And it wasn't like an admonishment. It was like a calling and a loving, like, you and I both know this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And in one word, I knew Jesus was saying, you think you're going to solve this marriage on a horizontal basis? It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Your walk with me is lukewarm. You're rushing around doing ministry and it's all out of your flesh. You haven't been with me in months, you know, and I was writing sermons that I was just doing the motions.
Mm.
And I just had this sense he was saying, he was calling me back to my first love. And I wasn't in mortal sin. I wasn't doing anything morally wrong. It was just like I had grown cold, not so much here as here. And so when Ann finished, I said, hey, I need to do something. I need to do it right here, right now. You don't, but I do. And I wanted to be on my knees. I just felt like, man, I need to be in full submission. So I don't know how he did it to this day, but I pushed the driver's seat back and I turned around and the steering wheel's in my back. And I prayed out loud and I said, Jesus, I repent. I had lost my first love and you're not first in my life. My ministry is. And so I'm putting you back in control of my life and asking you to make me the husband she deserves and the dad that my kids need. And help save this marriage. And I said, amen. And I turned and said, okay, let's talk. And she's on her knees.
Which it was so crazy because that night, if you'd have asked me, what's the problem with your marriage? I'd have said, it's him. If he just get his act together, we could be great. But as he was praying out loud, I was super convicted. And I felt like God was speaking to me. And I felt like he was saying, Ann Wilson, I never made Dave or created Dave to meet all of your happiness needs. That is my job. And I realized I had never thought about this, I had gradually, out of my anger and bitterness, I had taken my eyes off of Jesus and I put them on Dave, thinking like, come on, man, like, let's be great. You could make me happy and you're not, thinking if he would just do X, Y, Z, we could be great. And I realized I've made my husband and my marriage an idol. Not that marriage and Dave is, they're great things, but if anything comes before God and we're trying to get our happiness through that thing, well, we're gonna come up short. So I got on my knees, and that was the same kind of prayer of repentance. Like, God, I've made Dave and my marriage an idol. You are the only one who can fulfill me and bring me the joy that is I can have that joy regardless of circumstances. So I resurrender my life to you. I give you everything. We give you our marriage. Help us. And that was the beginning of a journey of getting my feelings back and getting us back on track.
That's so good. Laura, before, I know you've got a question you want to hit on, but so many thoughts. I mean, one of my first thoughts is when my wife, Rachel, listens to this, she's going to get the biggest kick out of Dave wanting to go parking in the middle school, because she's going to look, she's going to look at me and she's going to go, that's you. You're like, really? Are you serious right now? As many times like that in our marriage.
I mean, you want to hear something crazy. Years later, we went parking somewhere. Not that we did this all the time, but every once
in a while. Why didn't you do it, though?
Yeah, I did want to do it. And we get a knock on the driver's window,
and it's
a policeman. And I roll down the window, and he goes, what are you doing? And I'm like, and then he looks at me, he goes, oh my goodness, you're my pastor.
No way. No way.
And then he goes, carry on, and he walked away. It was so hilarious. It was great.
Wow. Oh, I love that this episode is going to have to come with like a glossary, like parking and day timer.
Yeah, right. Like,
for anyone under 50 listening.
Yeah, I know, because I'm thinking about when they were, what Ann was just sharing there that was so good about only Jesus meets our deepest longings and desires. I'm thinking about the quote from Jerry Maguire, where he says, you complete me,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And what a lie that was that my generation believed. And then I started thinking, well, if anybody's listening to this under the age of 40, they're going to go, Jerry, what?
Like, you exactly. know, they missed it anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, there's another thing.
Yeah, we quoted Jerry Maguire in Vertical Marriage.
Yeah.
Because that's the belief, whether it's that generation or not, every generation sort of thinks, you know, this person is going to make me happy. And when we, you know, when the book came out, we ended up on the Today Show in New York, and these people found us, their direct message in us. And the biggest question was, I think I've married the wrong person.
And here's what we decided was the best answer. You didn't marry the wrong person. You're looking in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And it's really what we do is we try to find life here or in the amount of money, pleasure, you name it. And the whole time God's like, this is where you find life. It's in me. So vertical marriage in our perspective means you're not trying to get from your spouse what you're lacking. You're getting it from a relationship with Jesus. And when you're filled, and again, we're not talking, you know, as pastors and people working in church, we're not talking about going to church. It's a dynamic living water relationship with the living Absolutely. God of the universe, where you are filled, not perfectly, but daily. And so you turn to your spouse now, it's like, I'm overflowing. I'm not taking.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay down my life and serve you as Christ loved the church. That's my call. I have the energy and power to do that through God. Here we go. So that changes the way marriage works. It's a vertical thing. And again, if your spouse doesn't do that, you can.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had the Rhodes from Grace Marriage. We had them on for our last episode.
Oh, yeah.
And they said the exact same thing. They said that theirs actually began kind of similar story to you guys. But so one of the things you're talking about is that you're not looking to each other for life. But one of the things you mentioned in this book, or really what the whole book is about, is how important it is to still speak life to your spouse. And I want to read a quote that I just loved from the back of the book. And this is, it says, Ann Wilson spent more than a decade longing for her husband, Dave, to be more attentive, more involved, more helpful, and just all around better.
Yes, she did.
And every chance she got, she told him so.
Yes, she did.
So, Ann, I want to ask you, so how did that go?
Well, it's funny because I tend to be like, I want us to be great. You know, I want us to have a great relationship.
Yeah, it isn't like I don't.
I know, but you just, I know you do. But this is so typical of Dave and I. I was asked to speak to a women's group at our church. And our kids were in elementary school at that point. And I said to Dave, you want to come with me? They'll love it. You're the pastor. They'll think it's amazing. He goes, yeah, I'll do that. So I'm like, what do you want to talk about? He goes, I don't know. Let's just wing it. So we get it there and we're on these two stools. And all of a sudden, Dave is sharing things I've never heard him share in our lives. Mm. And he's all super excited. He's off the stool. He's pacing. He goes, women, I don't even know if you get what it's like for us as guys. Because as little kids, usually we have somebody cheering for us, a parent of somebody like, hey, you're great. Then we get older and we kind of find what we're good in. And so we have a professor, coach, somebody say, man, you're good at this. He goes, I play college football. So I've got, you know, people cheering for me. Dave Wilson, you're the man. And then he says, and then I met Ann and she basically says, of all the men in the world, you're the man, Dave Wilson. I choose you. And she's cheering for me. I'm thinking, this is awesome. I've never thought about this. This is cool. And then he drops this bomb and he goes, but then we're married a while and we walk through the door at the end of the day. And it feels like all I hear is boo, boo. He says three times he does it. I'm sitting back there like, wait, what just happened? Because he has never said anything like this to me.
When I said boo and I look back at her, I'm like, I am a dead man. Yeah. Because I had never said this to her. It was coming out. So I felt like this is how it feels for us men.
Yeah.
But I knew, man, we are in trouble. When we get in the car, it'll be.
I don't even know how we ended. I just know we got in the car and I'm like, you think I'm booing you? I am helping you. And then he goes, but Ann, is it working? I'm like, no, I have to say it more often or louder. And it felt like he's doing all these things and everybody's like, Dave, you're amazing. So he comes home and I felt like I just need to help him to know how to be better. I wasn't doing it maliciously to hurt him, to harm him. I thought this will motivate him and help him to be more helpful. Or I had this whole list. And I'm like, when he said, is it working? I'm like, no, it's not working. And then he said this. It just feels like, Ann, I can't do anything quite right. You have to tweak me. You have to fix me. Feels like you love me. But honestly, I don't even know if you like me. And there was some truth to that. And I went home. I got on my knees. And first I vented to God about how appalling that was. Like how embarrassing. Like, Lord, can you believe you'd say that about me? And then I felt like God was saying, and I asked God, do you think I booed Dave? And I felt this conviction of my spirit of yes. And then I felt like he was saying, start paying attention to your thoughts about him and then start paying attention to your words, not only to Dave, but to our kids. And I didn't know, you guys, that my words were more powerful than any words that Dave was getting.
Yeah.
People are like, Dave, you're amazing. But my words, a wife's words, are the most powerful. And I had no idea. So that began this journey, which is the book, of I felt like God was saying, pray this prayer. God, show me the greatness in Dave. Mm-hmm. Because Proverbs says the power of life and death is in the tongue. There's so much scripture about the power of the tongue and how when we eat of it, it can cause destruction or life. And so I felt God really had to do a transformational work in me.
That's so good, man. Dave, I feel like if you and I were living in the same place and had more access to one another, you're like my long lost brother or dad or something. Like you saying things in front of people that your wife later says, where did that come from? And you've like, maybe it's a pastor thing. Maybe it's just a dumb guy thing. You know, I don't know, but, that's happened to me as well. I'm so resonating right now. That was so good. I've told people numerous times over the years, I've told Rachel and I have talked about it a lot, that, you know, I can get, as a pastor, as a leader, I can get praise and encouragement from tons of people, and that's great. It has its purpose in place, and God uses it. But what she says to me is by far and away what I hear the most and what encourages me the most. And, you know,
I mean, in a sense, I wrote at the end of each chapter, sort of give a husband or a man's perspective to the wives. I think the theme of Anne's book is that it's women, you have incredible power.
Yeah.
God has given you power and influence. You can use it for good or bad, but man, it is something God's put in your hands. I remember one night I came home after a long weekend of preaching, 5 sermons, Lions sideline. It was football season. And I was right over there. I crawled in our bed at 11:30. I'm exhausted. It's been a long weekend. I don't really want to do anything but go to sleep. But I make this comment and I just under my breath said, man, I've been getting a lot of critiques lately on my sermons.
You guys, and I'm right in the midst of this journey when he says this. And I felt like God was saying to me, I want you to not answer right away because I'm a verbal processor. Mm. And so I felt like he was saying a few things. First, ask, should I say it? Ask him, should I say this? And if so, if I get the green light, how should I say it? When should I say it? Like, that's a big deal for me. Mm. So he says that. And my first thought was, well, if you'd spend more time studying the scriptures, I think your sermons would be way better. So I pray, God, should I say it? No. Lord, should I say anything? And this is the thought that comes to my head. James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously. God, should I say anything? And this is the thought that comes to my head. And I say it. Man, I can't imagine what it's like to be you. You have thousands of people depending on your walk with Jesus. What a heavy thing that must be to carry.
Wow.
And then there's just silence. And then he grabs me, he hugs me, and he whispers in my ear, you are my life.
Wow.
And that's the power of seeking God, but also asking God, like, help me weigh my words. And I'm telling you, I would have said it in a heartbeat. If you just, you know, study the word more, that would have been the most deflating thing ever.
And all I can add is the journey that we've gone on in the last 20-some years, she is, without a doubt, the greatest cheerleader in my life. Mm. She believes in me. She sees greatness in me. And again, that didn't happen in just a couple days or months. It was a journey. But there's no one that sees greatness in me like she does. And so, I mean, I'm running home now. I used to run away from home. I'm like, I'll go back and do ministry. I mean, out there, they sort of like me. You know, I come back here and I don't feel like, man, I run home. And every wife wants their man to run home.
Yeah.
And part of it is maybe this is sort of.
But I've had women say like, hey, there's nothing to cheer. You don't get it. You don't get who I'm married to.
Yeah.
And what I say is, I don't need, even if they're not a believer, they're made in God's image. Mm-hmm. And God's cheering for them. God's cheering for us every day. If you're hearing shame or condemnation, that is not from the Father. God loves us and he's always cheering for us. So it's like partnering with God, like, God, show me the greatness. And then you're looking for anything. You're looking for anything that's good. And then you say it. And I'm telling you, I realized that pride, I had so much pride. Like, I started just thanking Dave for doing things right. Hey, thanks for bringing in the garbage. And here's why I didn't do it before, you guys, because I thought, who thanks me for doing things? I do everything around here and nobody thanks me. You hear the pridefulness in that?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so embarrassing to look in the mirror.
Mm.
But I didn't do any of this to change Dave. But what ended up happening is he ended up changing. Mm. It was amazing. Mm. And I changed more than anybody.
Yeah.
I bet that every person listening can relate to what you guys are saying.
Totally. Totally.
And you are exposing so much in hearts of wives and husbands right now.
Totally.
So, man, thanks for your vulnerability and thanks for sharing. Jeff, do you have one more question?
Well, so I was actually going to say, you get the last question.
Oh, yes.
And then I'll wrap us up.
Oh, right now?
Yeah, go right now. You get the last question.
All right. Man, you guys, the way that God has worked in your marriage and the way that he has worked through your marriage is just astounding and such a testimony to who he is. him taking broken things and not just healing them, but using them for his purposes. Because I've seen you guys do ministry, and I've seen how the couples respond, both your vulnerability as well as your just boldness in speaking the truth. So here's my last question. What do married couples need to hear? Especially the ones that right now are listening to you guys talking, go, wow, that's us, but not so much the finding the life on the other side of it. For the couple that's just in the ditch right now, what do they need to hear?
I mean, I'll start out and just say, I think what I've done over the years of I've tried to change Dave. And I just say that you cannot change your spouse. God can. And I can't do any of this apart from being with Jesus. I have to be in the Word every day, you guys. That's how desperate and needy I am. Because as soon as I'm out of the Word, I start looking for other things to make me happy.
Yeah.
And when I'm in the Word and Jesus is my foundation, I'm content. And I think for me, that's been the greatest secret of my life. And he fills me and gives me new eyes for Dave because I can't change him. But you know what changes us? Being loved unconditionally in spite of our flaws. That's the gospel.
Mm. Yeah, I would just add, don't quit. Don't give up. There are many times we wanted to give up. You've heard a little bit of our story. I mean, when we tell that story that, you know, I prayed, you know, to God, I'd rather die than be married to her. People laugh. Mm. And the reason they laugh is we're in year 45. It's funny.
Mm.
Yeah. But in that moment, it wasn't funny. I meant it. I was that desperate. Like, I'd rather be out of here than married to her. And here we are. It's like, and when you're there, it's like cling to Jesus. If you're not a part of a community, if you're not in a church, you got to find one. You got to find some other couples in a small group. That's what we call it, whatever you call it. And you got to do life with them and be honest with them. Don't hide your pain. Walk in there and say, here's where we are. And I think we all sort of think because in the church or in Christian marriage, it's not going to be as hard as others. It's going to be hard.
Yes.
And you've got a Jesus who rose from the dead. There's your hope. He'll meet you right there. Just hang on. You'll make it. And maybe you won't just make it. Maybe your story will be something he actually uses to help other couples. Amen. We never thought.
Never.
Number one, we never thought we'd get there to where we actually love each other more today than we did on our wedding day. And then we never thought God could use, especially our pain. We thought we'd just sort of hide it. And we're like, nope, that's the thing God wants to use is those struggles are what connect us to other couples. And we want them to see there's victory in Jesus as well. Doesn't mean it's easy. It's still hard.
Yep.
You know, but there's victory.
One of the things you said, Dave, a minute ago that really struck me was that you used to want to run out there in terms of like, I don't want to run home because, you know, I feel more loved and liked out there than I do at home. And then that's totally changed now. Now you can't wait to get home and you're running home. And that resonated with me in the sense of I can't wait to get home. I love getting home to Rachel. And there's such a blessing in that. And I think maybe my two cents to those listening is, if that resonated with you too, of like, I'd rather be out there than at home, just know that God can do the work to where you want to run home to your spouse. Okay. That can be your reality. And it'll be a journey and don't quit. Keep fighting hard, the good fight, and let Christ do the transforming work and he'll do it.
Well, I just want to read back something that Ann said. You said, Jesus fills me and gives me new eyes for Dave.
Yeah.
And so it's running back to Jesus that he might fill us and then give us new eyes for our spouses.
I love that.
That's such a good truth.
I love that. We could talk to you guys for hours, truly. I mean, we love talking to y'all. We'll do it again. We'll have you back if you're willing. Those listening, you have heard enough from Dave and Ann to know that you want to read their books. There's so much in there, so much wisdom, so much practical just storytelling that leads you to want to love Jesus more and love your spouse more. So,
and if you go to one of their vertical marriage weekends, you get to hear them It's just like this. The whole weekend, yep. You laugh, you cry, and God uses it to change your marriage.
Well, we'll do. You know, we'll have to bring vertical marriage to the perimeter someday.
We need to.
We've been talking about it.
I remember meeting Randy way back in the day when he was playing tennis. Out at our seminary, and I played tennis with him. And
That's awesome.
Great. I think he's the founder, right?
He is. Yeah. He's the founding pastor. He's a great guy. Yeah, he passed the baton to me 6 years ago. So, and he's still here. Wow. He's still on our staff. He just preached yesterday, actually.
That's great.
So, we'll get you guys here. That'll be awesome. I'm really like grieving ending this episode. Thanks for joining us, guys, and thanks for y'all listening. We're about halfway through this series. We got several more coming up, several more episodes. And if you're listening thinking, okay, I'm four episodes in, and they have yet to talk about intimacy and finances, and those are the two big ones that I want to talk about or want to hear about, we're going to start tackling that next week in our episode with Jeff and Shanti Feldhahn. Jeff and Shanti are no stranger to the Digging Deeper podcast. They're no stranger to Perimeter. They're members here, but they've written a lot on these subjects, and you're going to want to tune in for that. It's going to be really, really awesome. So again, Dave and Ann, thank you for joining us, and we love you guys. We're grateful for you.
Thank you.
We love you guys. Thanks for all you're doing too.
All right. Awesome. And tune in with us for the next episode. We'll see you then.